Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now, that is not a good Independent Baptist verse. We can certainly chide and deride people who are overtaken in a fault, but it's far beyond us to ever consider that we could be overtaken in the same. Amen. Verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So all you being puffed up in the mind is contrary to the truth. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. There's no shifting of responsibility with God. Let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now that's supposed to be my job, is to teach and to communicate. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth of the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth of the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That's the keep at it, you know, keep on keeping on verse. And the way to see the reward and the victory is you can't quit. Quitters never win, and winners never quit, they say. Verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, a lot of Christians think that we're only supposed to do good to certain people. You say, well, I'm not going to do good to him because he's a Muslim. If it's in the power of your hand to do good, you ought to do good. It's do good to all men. Amen. And so, well, I'm not going to do them because that's a particular group or sect or cult or race or ethnic group that I don't care for. That's not grounds. You are to do good to all men. Amen. Now, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. That is, Christians first. If you can only do good to one, and there's two there, and one is a Christian and one is not, you take care of the household of God first. Amen. Your brothers and sisters in Christ get preferential treatment. But if you can do good to more than one, then you try your best to do good to all men. Amen? You say, well, I don't like him, and I just think you're going to do the guy no favor. Then that's the very one you ought to help the most. Amen? You ought to come overcome some of your meanness. In verse 11, you see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised only, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Now, in verse 11, he said, see how large a letter I have written unto you. And, of course, he's talking about the whole book of Galatians, six chapters. That's what we call an epistle or a church letter. And of course now it's in the Bible and it's considered what we call a book of the Bible. But it was originally a letter from Paul to the Galatians. And he wrote it for several reasons. And part of the problem was the thing called Judaizers, people who were coming in and trying to say, you're saved by grace, but you're kept by works. And the whole book of Galatians is written to refute that nonsense. But I want to take verse 11 there and just kind of use it as a springboard. It's going to be my pretext for a message tonight because it has in it the word letter. See, you see how large a letter I have written unto you. And I want to bring you a message tonight called An Old Love Letter. And of course, the inspiration for that is, I hope, from the Holy Spirit via the song the McCameys have out called An Old Love Letter. And I like that song. McCameys are not my favorite group. That's my wife's weakness. But I love a lot of their material. They sing some really good songs. And that song, An Old Love Letter, first time I ever heard it, I told my wife, I said, go buy that tape, get us a CD of that, because I like it. Now, the old love letter that she's referring to in that song, of course, is the Bible. She said, I found an old love letter written just for me. See? And it tells me how much I am loved so sweet and tenderly. And it's just a great song. And that's what this Bible is. It's a love book. It's a book that tells us God's plan for the ages. It tells us God's plan for salvation. It tells us God's plan for the future. It tells us God's plan for mankind. And everything that's necessary for you to live the kind of life that God wants you to live is found in this old book. Amen. And so this old King James 1611 is that old love letter that she's talking about. And of course, everybody that knows me knows one of my pet peeves is this book. That's why we have King James Baptist Church. That's because we are King James only. Now, to a lot of people, that makes us a cult. They say if you only use one Bible, you've got a cult mentality. I'm here to tell you if you use more than one Bible, that you're nuts is what you are. Amen. James Jasper Ray some years ago wrote a book called God Only Wrote One Bible. And the old King James has been around with us in English language now for approaching 400 years. It is the standard. It is the monarch of the books. It's the book that brought about the Protestant Reformation. It's the book that has been used by missionaries to circle the globe. It is responsible for more people getting saved than all other Bibles, all other versions, and all other translations combined in the whole history of Christianity. This is the book. Amen. This is the one that God uses and Satan hates. This is the book. If you don't have a King James Bible, you don't have a Bible. If you're an English-speaking person, now if you're a Spanish person, then you need a Spanish translation of the King James. If you're a German person, you need a German translation of the King James. Amen. This is the book. We're a fanatic about it. We believe it is the inspired, infallible, inerrant, preserved Word of God in the English language for English-speaking people until the second coming of Jesus Christ. We don't think there are any mistakes, there are no errors, and there are no contradictions in this Bible. It is perfect, and you can follow it in all matters of faith and practice. It is absolutely and totally scientifically correct. It is totally and absolutely historically correct. It is right in everything that it teaches or says, and everything that is honestly conferred from its pages will be found to be absolutely so. It's the book. It's God's Word. It is forever settled in heaven. It's my guide and my rule. It's by the thing by which I judge all others. If the Bible says it's so, it's so. And if the Bible says it is not so, it is not so. We take its word over the decrees of education, science, philosophy, or any other doctrine or tenet of mankind. This is the book. It's my Bible. It's the one that I am basing the eternal destiny of my soul on, the authority and the authenticity and the correctness of its word. I trust it. I believe in it. I preach it. I read it. I believe it. I practice it. It's my book. I'm a King James only fanatic. If you don't have that position, I'll pray for you. I feel sorry for you. And God may forgive you for it, but you made a terrible mistake. You are following the wrong book. Amen. I don't know where that came from. It got nothing to do with this message. I just wanted to get that off my chest. Now, we'll talk to you about the Bible as an old love letter. This Bible is a special book. This thing ought to have a special place in your heart. You ought to be able to put your arms around that book and hold it up close to your chest and say, I love you, Bible. I love you, Word of God. That's the book right there. That's the one that puts you in touch with Almighty God. Amen. That's the one that lets you know you're saved and on your way to heaven. That's the one that lets you know what God approves of and what God disapproves of. That's the one that lets you know what God's got lined up for you down the road someplace. This is the book. This is the one that's got the answer to every question that you'll ever face in life. That's the book right here. Amen. It's my love letter from God. It's my instruction book from God. It's the operator's manual that God parachuted down from heaven. Now, in that little song, an old love letter, there's a line in there that says its pages are stained with red, referring to the blood that was shed that's told about in this book. And so this is a bloody book. Matter of fact, the communists, when they read the Bible, they looked at it and said, that's a blood-soaked book. You Christians are obsessed with the blood. They're right. They're absolutely right. They say, you Christians have got a slaughterhouse religion. Everywhere you look in the Bible, there's blood. Well, that's because without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. God shed His blood on Calvary's tree to keep you out of a devil's hell. He washes us from our sins in His own blood. Amen. So this is a bloody book. As a matter of fact, you look in this book back in Genesis chapter 3, God Almighty makes coats of skins for Adam and Eve to cover their nakedness, and somebody died. Something shed its blood. And so all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, the Bible starts with a blood sacrifice, and the blood back there was shed to cover the nakedness of the first man and woman. In Leviticus, you find blood. All through Leviticus, the priesthood had to offer blood and sprinkle it on the mercy seat to atone for or to cover the sins of the people. It didn't wash it away. It didn't get rid of it. It wasn't blotted out. It was just covered so that God couldn't see it. And the blood of bulls and goats hid the sin of man from the face of God for a year at a time. But every year, the high priest would have to come back in and repeat the same sacrifice and sprinkle the blood on the same mercy seat to atone for sins of the people for another year. And so it was probationary. It was temporary. I thank God that God did it. But we started with blood in Genesis, and we run into blood in Leviticus, and that blood and those sacrifices go all the way through Malachi into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But then, blessed be God, there came a day when God, in the Gospel of Matthew, shed the blood of God. And it didn't just cover our nakedness, and it did not just cover our sins. It washed us from our sins in His own blood. It washed them away. It cleansed us from them. I am not defiled by those sins anymore. I'm not a sinner whose sin is covered or hidden from the face of God. I'm a sinner who has been washed whiter than snow in the blood of the Lamb. Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as wool. God washed them away. And when He looks at me, it's not through the covering of the blood of bulls and goats. He sees me washed clean and made white and pure in the blood of the Lamb. Amen? And so this is a bloody book. It starts with blood. It ends with blood. Revelation chapter 5 said, "And behold, I saw a lamb as it had been slain from the foundation of the world." Talking about the Lamb of God in John chapter 1. "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And brother, that lamb came and he was slain and he shed his blood to wash you from your sin. And the whole world could be washed from their sin if they had just come to Jesus Christ and let Him apply the precious blood. You think we're a cult of blood fanatics? Okay. You think we got a slaughterhouse religion? Fine with me. You can think anything you want to. Just don't take the blood away. The military came by a few years ago and they went through all the hymnals in the armed forces. And every place where the blood appeared, they took it out. By the way, every place where it said he or him, they took that out. They made all the masculine nouns and pronouns neuter. But in every place where the blood was in a him, they took the blood out. The military, the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force of the United States of America does not sing about the blood of the Lamb anymore. Yet that Bible said, without shedding of blood is no remission. Get rid of the blood, get rid of your salvation. You get rid of the blood of Jesus Christ, you die and go to hell. Yes, sir, everybody. This old book, its pages are stained with red. Man, in that song, there was a little line there that said, "It reveals His love for me." This is a love book. There's all kind of love stories in here. Man, who hasn't read about Abraham and Sarah? Or Isaac and Rebekah? Who hasn't read the book of Ruth about Boaz and Ruth and the love story? Amen? Who hasn't read Song of Solomon, but that's not what I'm thinking about. The one God's name is not in the whole book. Esther. I don't know where that went. It just disappeared on me. But everybody's read the book of Esther. That's a love story. There's love stories all through the Bible. It's a book of love. Why is that? Because God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Listen, God begins revealing His love for mankind back in Genesis chapter 3 when He looked down at fallen man. Adam and Eve had sinned and disobeyed God, and God could have blotted them out and started all over again. But God loved them. God had made them in His own image, and God had made them to worship Him and love Him. And so in love, God covers their nakedness and provides a remedy for their problem. And God has been demonstrating His love for mankind for 6,000 years. Every time you turn around, you see the love of God manifested. Amen? So how do you know He loved you? Well, He sent Jesus Christ to die on Calvary's cross. Amen? Then one day He came by and the Holy Spirit knocked on my door, and the high sheriff of glory rode down the hills of heaven and arrested my soul and put me in the body of Christ. Amen? I know He loved me because He stopped by long enough to save me. Amen. Listen, God loves you. He has always loved you. And after you receive Christ, He loves you in particular. He loves you especial. You become His son. You become His daughter when you receive Jesus Christ. And from that day forward, God manifests His love in every way that an infinite and almighty God can demonstrate it. God wants you to know that He loves you.
Amen.
And if you'll pick up that Bible and read it, you know what He'll say to you all the time? I love you. I love you. I love you. You know what I tell my wife all the time? I've been married 36 years, going on 37. I still think she's the prettiest thing there is. I took her down to GNC this afternoon to pick up some medicine. I was sitting in the truck when she came walking out of there, and I thought, man, that's a pretty woman. I just think she is. Don't say a word. I ain't interested in your opinion. I pay her bills and I live with her. I think she's pretty if I want to. Amen. I think she's pretty. Man, she come walking out of there and I thought, I love her. You know, she come over and got in the truck and sit down. I said, I love you. I tell her that about 100 times a day. I do. She said, why do you do that? You're not going to believe this. Because I love her. I want her to know it. I don't want her to spend her life wondering, does he love me? I want to act like I love her. I want to demonstrate my love. I want to convince the world that I love her. But above all things, I want to convince her I love her. And I want to tell her I love her. I don't want to be like that fellow. You know, his wife said, they've been married about 20 years, and she said, you don't ever tell me you love me anymore. He said, I told you when we got married, if I change my mind, I'll tell you. That ain't the way it's supposed to be. You ought to let them know you love them. Amen? You ought to let God know you love Him. He certainly lets you know that He loves you. And if you read that blessed old book, He'll tell you over and over again, time after time after time, I love you, I love you, I love you. And if you'll watch Him in your life, He'll demonstrate that He loves you. He forgives you. He stays with you. He sticks by you. God loves you, and He wants to manifest it. He wants the world to know He loves you. He wants you to know He loves you. It's a book of love. It's a love story. Every time you pick this old book up, you ought to see the love of God manifested on your behalf. But not only is it a book of love, this old love letter is a book for all eternity. It said in that little song that it was sealed or written for all eternity. That is, what's in here is forever. And what God does is forever.
Amen.
The Bible said, that the Lord doeth is forever, and no man can take or put anything to it. When God does it, it's perfect and it's forever. Amen? And so, buddy, this old book is an eternal book. It's an eternal love story, and it reveals eternal things. Let me tell you something. God is for eternity. I'm not serving some little God that's going to decay or rot or fall down. It is not a totem pole set up out here in the ground that's going to rot away at the dirt line one of these days and fall down on its face, and we have to go out in the woods and get another tree and chop out another one. See? That's temporal.
Amen.
My God is eternal. He's not going to wear out. He is not going to fall apart. His arm is not going to be shortened. His eye will not be dim. He will never become deaf that He cannot hear my cry. He's an eternal God. He is I am that I am. He is the self-existent, always existent. There never has been a time when God wasn't, and there never will be a time when God won't be. God is eternal from eternity past to eternity future. You say, how long is that? It's forever. My mind can only comprehend so much time and so much space. And wherever I look, there's God. He was back as far back as I can imagine, and He's as far into the future as I can imagine that way. God is eternal. He is everlasting. He is from the beginning to the end. And nobody knows where all either one of those is at. And the end might be at the beginning for all I know. But wherever it's at, God is there because God is eternal. You won't have to worry about, will God grow old and die and not be able to fulfill His promises? You won't have to worry about, will God get old and feeble and not be able to perform the things that He's promised to do? You won't have to worry about God dying and not being able to keep you alive for eternity because God Himself is eternal. He is self-existent. I'm thankful for that. I don't like change. I like the things, especially if they're good, to go on forever. Amen? Not only is God eternal, in this Bible I found out, and in my old love letter, that the blood is eternal. So how do you know the blood is eternal? Because it's God's blood. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, said that God purchased the church with His own blood. Amen? And God is eternal, so His blood's eternal. Now, why is that important? Because I'm washed from my sins in His blood. It took the blood of Christ to cleanse me, and the blood of Christ lasts forever. It does not lose its efficacy. It does not wear out. It is not weaker now than it used to be. The blood of Christ is the same today as it ever was. It can still save and give eternal life. It can still wash the vilest sinner clean. I'm telling you, there's a fountain drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus Christ is eternal blood. It will last forever and it'll keep you forever. Amen? Not only is God eternal and His blood is eternal, this book, I see you knew I'd get there sooner or later. This book is forever. It's eternal. So how do you know that? Because the Bible said that the Word of God is tried in a furnace of fire, purified seven times, and that it is forever settled in heaven. God has got an original copy of the 1611 on the throne room up in heaven, and it will be there as long as God is there. So the rule book by which you live your life, the book that you have trusted the eternal destiny of your soul, the one you have tried to raise your children by, the one that gives you your principles and your conviction, the one that sets the standard and the tone for your life, the one that says this is right and that is wrong, this is the way, walk ye therein. That book will be there forever. It will never change. It will never be altered. It will never wear out. It will never be revised. It will never be abridged. It will be the same book today and tomorrow and the next day. As long as God lasts, it is forever settled. It is unchangeable. It is inalterable. You can count on it being the same today and tomorrow. It won't be one plan of salvation today and something else next week. It won't be heaven tomorrow and a year later be hell. It'll be the same book and it'll teach the same thing, authored by the same God, sent to the same people to reveal the same truth. It's a blessed old book and it lasts as long as God Almighty lasts. It's an eternal book. Now, I was going to say it's my book, but if we get off on that, I'd just be here all night. So, not only is God eternal, and the blood is eternal, and the book is eternal, salvation is for eternity. He said it was sealed for eternity. Well, I'll tell you something. I'm sealed for eternity. Amen. Somebody said, Preacher, what's your favorite verse in the Bible? Man, I don't know. 31,175 verses in there. I like them all. I never did find one that I don't like. I found some I can't live, but I haven't found any I don't like. But I've got some favorites. I really do. I've been at this thing almost 27 years, and there's some things in the Bible that are my special favorites. Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 4. And He brought me to the banqueting house, and His banner over me was love. That's one of my favorite verses. If I sign a card or write a letter or send you a greeting card or something, when I sign my name down there, underneath it, it'll say S of S 2:4, Song of Solomon 2:4. And He brought me to the banqueting house, and His banner over me was love. I think it's one of the greatest verses in all the Bible. Amen. God saved me because God loves me. That's one of my favorites. There's some others in there. John 17:17. If you look at our church literature on our stationery, down the side there, it's got our church verse is John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Amen. Brethren, I believe that with all my heart. This blessed old book is the truth of Almighty God. I don't know what point I'm on anymore. I forgot where I was at. We were talking about salvation a minute ago, wasn't it? Are we still on that? Okay. Ma'am? Yeah. It's all that stuff. Yeah, but why did I get off on them favorite verses? I don't have that in my notes. Oh, yeah. I don't know. I'm having fun, though, man. I enjoy myself. Man, that's what happened when I started ad-libbing. I need to go by this outline one of these. I'm going to do that one of these days, too. I remember a couple of years ago, I had an outline, and I went by it the whole time. It's the worst sermon I ever preached. So I don't ever go by them. I got just enough outline up here to kind of keep me going in the direction I want to go. That way I don't want to get bogged down in an outline. It gives you liberty to follow the Spirit. Salvation is eternal, though. I'll get back on that somehow or another here in a minute. I'll flip around here like a fish out of water till I get going. y'all, just go ahead and laugh, let's get it. I'll let you preach one of these days and we'll see how well you do.
Amen.
Amen. Happens to everybody sooner or later. Anyway, I'm thankful for my salvation is an eternal salvation. The Word of God is eternal. God is eternal. The blood is eternal. The book is eternal. And my salvation is eternal. He said, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Amen. But you know what that song said? It said it was sealed for all eternity. Well, I like that word sealed. I think that's where I got off track right here. I like that word sealed for eternity because in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, it said, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the redemption of the purchased possession. Well, I'm the purchased possession. Amen? How do you know that? Well, the Bible said, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are the Lord's. Amen? For you're not your own, you're bought with a price. I was bought by the blood of the Lamb. See, I'm the purchased possession. God bought me at Calvary. Shed His blood to buy me back from the devil. Amen. So I'm the purchased possession. And I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit under the redemption of the purchased possession. I'm sealed until God comes to get me. Well, when God comes to get me, He's going to take me to be where He is.
Amen.
Now, I read over Revelation that nothing that maketh a liar or transgresses or commits sin can enter therein. You know what I am? I am eternally saved. I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. You can't get me lost again.
Amen.
Now, you can be charismatic if you want to. You go down there with Sister Cookie and that bunch of creeps, you know, I mean weirdos, and you can get saved tonight and lost tomorrow night. Somebody was telling me that girl that was in the white suit last night and got up there and rocked and rolled and all that stuff, sings in a rock and roll band during the week. I don't have no problem believing that. She looked like she was trying to sing rock and roll last night. Amen. And the way she was bitty bopping around and bouncing her bottom, she needs to be in a rock band and not in church. Amen. You ought to behave better than that when you come to church. And you ought to dress better than that when you come to church. Anyway, that crowd down there, you thought I was going to lose it again, didn't you? That crowd down there, they get it today and they lose it tomorrow. Well, you can have that if you want it. You go ahead and get saved today and be lost tomorrow. He loves me, He loves me not. He loves me, He loves me not. I'm in, I'm out, I'm saved, I'm lost, I'm hot, I'm cold. Help yourself, man. Run yourself crazy trying to figure out whether you're saved or not. I think I'll just hang on God's eternal salvation. He said, I, not me, not you, and not the church, I give unto them, that's me, that's you, eternal life, not probationary life. Not temporary life. I give unto them eternal life. And they, the ones that I gave it to, shall never perish. He didn't say I give it to them until they sin, or until they backslide, or until they transgress, or they change their mind. He said, I give it to them, and when I give it to them, they shall never perish. My salvation is an eternal salvation. I'm as saved as a fella can get. Now, I may not be as righteous as a man ought to be. I may not be as holy as I want to be. I'm certainly not all God wants me to be. I doubt seriously if I'm all that you think I am. And I am certainly not all that I want to be. But I know for sure that I am eternally saved. And I am on my way to the city, and not you or nobody else or their denomination or their doctrine or what anybody else thinks can change it, because He gave it to me from God Almighty, and until He takes it away, it's mine.
Amen.
I'm going home to heaven. You can do whatever you want to do. God's for eternity. The blood's for eternity. The book's for eternity. Salvation's for eternity. Glory to God. Heaven is for eternity. I'm glad I'm not going just for a vacation. I've had some good vacations. Several years ago, wife and I went over to Germany for 2 weeks. And she did all the typical tourist stuff. She went to the Black Forest. She took a river cruise. They went to see sights. They went to some other cities. I wasn't bothered with any of that nonsense. I went to the golf course every day. Amen. I don't know anything about Germany. Everything I know about Germany is there's a little stand on the side of the road. They sell pomfrits and bratwurst and knockwurst. And if you don't have money, they call the Polizei. Amen. That's all I know about Germany. That's all I need to know. I knew where to get something to eat, and I knew where the golf course was at. And I learned you don't eat at Burger King because it costs 3 times as much over there as it does over here. I mean, 2 hamburgers and 2 Cokes from me and another preacher one night was like $15 or $16. You better off to stop at them little roadside stands and get the pommes frites. That's French fries. Amen. But anyway, that's all I know about Germany. I know what a golf course. But we had a great vacation. My wife had all kind of pictures and postcards and stuff, and she would tell me about all kind of neat stuff. And I was telling her what I shot on the front nine about of the greatest piece of real estate in all the universe, and then be forced to leave. When I get there and see its royal beauty and see the glory and the majesty of Almighty God, when I see the throne on which sits the Lamb that washed me from my sins and laid down His life to save me from a devil's hell, I want to stay. When I get to that fair land where the river runs pure and the tree of life is on each side with its 12 manner of fruit, and all the people come in and the place is filled with holiness, and the place is filled with light, and the angels sing their song, and the cherubim and the seraphim praise God and cry, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Listen, I don't want to go there and have to leave. I want to go and stay. I want it to be my home. I want to dwell on the other side. I don't want to camp out. I don't want to take a vacation. When I get home to glory, in God's name, don't make me leave. Let me stay. Whoever cleans this table, all this spit is age-free. You can wear rubber gloves if you want to, it's all right, man. Okay. He said it was sealed for all eternity. Then there's a line in that little song that said, "My tears stain its pages." Well, I got thinking about that. What this old book means. How precious this old book's been in the last 27 years. What a blessing it's been. How many times I've had my heart comforted. How many times I've heard people preach from it and get my soul on fire, boy, and make me just well up with tears and feel like my chest was going to explode. I've heard some of them fellas preach. Well, I mean, I know some. I can't preach, but I know some folks that can. And boy, I've heard them preach that old book. And I mean, it gets you so stirred up, man, it's just like a fog rolled into the room. Heaven would get real. Feel like you could just reach out and touch God. I don't know how many times in 27 years, boy, I've been about as low as a fella could get. All kind of problems and troubles come into your life. And every time you're down in the valley, and it's the dark of midnight, and the storm rages, and the thunder crashes, and the lightning flashes, here comes God to comfort, and to soothe, and sustain you, and to lead you, and guide you, and get you through that thing. I don't know how many times this blessed old book, I picked it up, and prayed, and said, "Lord, I need help. Lord God, I need guidance. Lord, speak to my heart from this blessed old book." And the Holy Spirit would take some passage of Scripture and illuminate that thing and make it real to my heart and give me just what I needed to get me through the place I was in. I'm telling you something. I love this blessed old book. I love the Holy Spirit that makes that book real. I love God Almighty who gave me that book and said, "Here, read therein. This is the way. Walk ye in it." I'm thankful that this old book is a light under my feet, or a path under my feet and a light under my way. I'm glad that God gave me this old Bible. And your tears are to stain its pages. So why? Well, when you remember what you were. I don't know about you, I was 27 years old when I got saved. And buddy, I was as lost as I am saved. When I was lost, I was lost. I was as wicked and ungodly. You have no idea what your preacher was like before he got saved. And I thank God you're never going to know.
that old fella's dead and buried and passed away. Amen? And I've been created a new creature in Christ Jesus, and you're not ever going to get to see that old fella. But I'm here to tell you, he was a sorry, worthless, low-down, good-for-nothing piece of sorry white trash. You wouldn't have liked him. You wouldn't have approved of him. He didn't like himself. Amen? But one night, God saved me and changed me. And I may not be what I want to be, but I certainly am not what I was 27 years ago. Amen? And I'm thankful for that. Listen, your tears would stain his pages if you could remember what you were and what you did and where you were and what kind of condition you were in when God found you. Buddy, I was dead in trespass and sin. I was on my way to a devil's hell. I had no light in my heart and no joy in my soul, no song on my lips. I was lost without God and without hope, dead and headed straight to hell like a bullet down a gun barrel with no hope in my heart. I'm telling you, there was nothing but darkness and despair. I was a thoroughgoing evolutionist. I pretended I didn't believe the Bible, denied that there was a God, and I thought Charles Darwin was the hero of the world. It didn't give me any joy. It didn't give me any peace. And it didn't give me any hope. And it never washed away my sin. It never made my heart light. And it never made me want to sing. And then one night I got saved. A little old fella down in Mississippi took one of these things right here, one of these old King James Bible, and he picked that thing up. And every time I'd say something, he'd say, "The Bible says." And I would say, "Well, what about so-and-so?" And he'd say, "The Bible says." And I said, "Well, what about this?" And he'd say, "The Bible says." That old boy knew where every verse was at. I don't know if he knew that much about the Bible, if God just helped him out. But I could not ask a question that he could not answer with a verse of Scripture. That's the honest truth. I mean, every question and every doubt that I could think of, he could answer with a Bible. And finally, I ran out of things to object to. I ran out of things not to believe. I ran out of questions to ask. And I'm sitting there dumbfounded, defeated. The Bible had beaten me. And then when I was beaten and couldn't go anymore, he said, "Bob, why don't you listen to this?" And he read me from that old Bible. "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one." Then he'd turn over there and say, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Then he'd turn over there and say, "Not by works of righteousness that we've done, but by His mercy hath He saved us." Then he'd turn over to Romans 10 and say, "If thou shalt believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession made unto salvation." Man! Then he said, "Why don't you bow your head and receive Christ?" So where did all that come from? It came out of this book. Every word that came out of this book. Every objection was settled by this book. Every question was answered by this book. And the only place I could find hope for tomorrow came out of that book. When I got saved, I fell in love with that book. You say, "Well, you're supposed to fall in love with God." Listen, you don't know God if you don't know the book. What are you going to do? Imagine God? You're going to try and think Him up? Well, that's what the heathen do. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and made them gods out of four-footed beasts and creeping things. Romans chapter 1. If you left it up to your own imagination, that's what you'd be. You'd be an idolater. You can't find out God by your own reason. It takes a revelation. The reason God gave you a Bible, so you could know God. My tears stain His pages when I remember what I was. My tears stain His pages when I remember what He's done for me. Boy, I'm telling you what, if you was lost, I mean really lost, if the Holy Spirit of Almighty God ever got you really lost, I mean you saw your real condition, you saw how wicked you really are, and how desperate your heart is, and how unpredictable and sorry and no account you are. If you ever saw the reality of hell, if you could smell the smoke and feel the flame of hell, if you ever really got under conviction of the Holy Spirit, and then God saved you and delivered you from the wrath to come. If God delivered you from hell fire, if you know that you're fireproof and heaven bound, I mean, if you could swing out over hell on a corn stalk and shoot at the devil with a squirt gun, I mean, if you know you're saved by the blood of the Lamb, then you ought to be be excited and thankful. You ought to weep and cry at God's mercy. He took an old dirty sinner that deserved to die and go to hell and washed in the precious blood of the Lamb and put hope and joy in your soul. Gave you a future to look forward to. That washed you from your sins and took away your guilt and your shame and gave you home and glory. Made Jesus Christ your elder brother. Gave you fellowship with the Father. Gave you the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. My soul, how can you not be excited about that blessed old book that tells you what God did for you?
Amen.
That's some book you got right here.
Amen.
People walking around with it and don't read it. People walk around with it and don't believe it. You're about half crazy. You got the greatest thing God ever gave you outside of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's that book right there. My tears stain its pages when I remember what I was. My tears stain its pages when I remember what He did for me. My tears stain its pages when I think about what's ahead. I certainly am in no position to complain. My God has been exceeding abundant good to me above all that I could ever think or ask. By far and away more than I ever deserved. I'm 54 years old and I've had a good life. God gave me the greatest wife that there ever was. Good kids. He's let me preach for 27 years. That's a blessing absolutely beyond compare. In this church, I think we've seen some of the best marriages and some of the best people I've ever known right here in this church. I know I give you a fit and rag on you all the time, but I love you. You have no idea what a blessing you are to me. I'm going to keep on preaching hard. I'm going to keep on being mean and ugly because I'm going to do my best to keep you straight. But I do that because I love you. This church is a blessing to me.
Amen.
God's been good.
Amen.
To this old boy. Gave me the desire of my heart. Watched over me and kept me all these years. Like He has you. I have no right to complain. But the honest truth is, not everything in this life is perfect. There have been plenty of bad times and plenty of hard times. Now, I figure most of them is my fault. Because I made stupid decisions or made wrong choices and was greedy or selfish or didn't follow God, didn't follow the light that I had. And as good as this life been, it's still had its problems. It's had its ups and downs. But I'm looking forward to a day when all that's going to be gone. I love that verse in Revelation said, and the former things were passed away. What former things? All the suffering, all the heartache, all the broken homes. Wouldn't you like to go to a place where your body never hurts? I've been keeping his hand in his pocket pretty much all night because my shoulder's killing me. I don't know what I don't know how I did it, but I pulled a muscle in my shoulder back here. And if I move this thing very much, it's just like somebody is stabbing me. Honest to goodness, I mean, it's painful. And so I've tried to keep it immobilized so it don't... I'll be glad when I get to a place where things don't hurt. Amen. We went skating with the kids yesterday, and the kids had me showing off, and... and I was skating backward, and I was doing this big old whiffer-deal, and I looked around, and there was a little kid there, and I ran right over him. Didn't hurt him. I just enough to knock me down, but didn't hurt him. But man, I landed sideways, about broke my wrist. I said, man, you know, when I was 15, 16 years old, those floors were not near so hard. Things didn't hurt so bad back then. Boy, now, you know, 54 and 200 pounds, it's agony when you fall on that floor. I'll be glad when I get to a place where this physical body doesn't hurt anymore. But you know what I'm really looking forward to? I told you this morning, a fella called me yesterday and wanted me to come do a favor for him. And he's dying. And that fella's going to leave his wife behind. And I try to put myself in his place. You ever try to empathize with people? To get in their shoes? You can only go so far. That guy's fixing to leave his wife. And he probably loves his wife like I love mine. They've been married for years and years and years. Always been close. Every time you see them, they're together.
I thought, won't that be a terrible thing? Won't that be a heartbreaking thing? 6 months, 9 months, a year from now, he'll die. And she'll be left alone. She'll not only be left alone to try and take care of the house and the grandkids that she's raising and all that kind of stuff and deal with all of life's problems. She's going to have to do it without her friend, without her partner, without her mate. And there's going to be a big old hole in her heart, and it's going to ache. And there's going to be many a lonely night for her. I bet you sometimes she'll lay down in that bed and kind of scoot over on his side to feel his warmth, to get her strength, for the security, for the comfort. And he won't be there. And her heart will get heavy and her heart will start to race. Tears come to her eyes. And that little lady will lay there in that bed and sob herself to sleep with a broken heart. I get tired of that. I get excited thinking about going to a place where if you're somebody's friend and acquaintance, you love somebody, they can be your friend forever. They can be your acquaintance forever. No more heartache. No more separation. No more death and dying. Boy, isn't that a blessed promise? Isn't that something to look forward to? You tell me who else in all the world has got the right or the opportunity to look forward to the future with the same greatness and the same gladness that you and I can. The Bible tells us not to sorrow as the others that have no hope. Listen, the world doesn't have any hope. They think when you die, that's the end of it, boy. And it's just misery and heartache. There's no cheer. There's no joy. But if you're saved by God's grace and my wife dies tomorrow, she's saved and she's going home to glory. And one of these days, I'm going to see her. And I may miss her down here and my heart may be heavy. But we'll be put together again one of these days up in heaven. And we will never be separated again. Let me close with this. I only have 4 points here. The line in there said, "My tears stain its pages each time I read." You know, some verses in the Bible that are to stir your heart. For example, we've heard it so often that we don't think much about it and we don't make a big deal out of it. But you know what John 3:16 says? "For God so loved." I don't know how you can get over that. The Bible said, "No man hath greater love than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." Jesus Christ laid down his life for his enemies, that we might be his friends. When that Bible said, "For God so loved," you got to think about what it cost him to love you. Holy God had to embrace a wicked sinner. A holy God had to take a sinless only son and sacrifice him on a cruel tree. The great God of glory had to submit his son to ridicule and blasphemy, persecution and death, to keep an unlovely bunch of sinners out of a devil's hell. Every time you read John 3:16, it ought to stir your heart. Ought to speak to you. That book ought to do something for you. Every time I read, "God so loved." I love this verse. "Every time I read, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." He said, "I go and prepare a place." I'm glad that I'm not going to a place that's unprepared. God's already been there. And He's got it all fixed up. It's a prepared place for a prepared people. It delights my soul and gives me abundant joy to think about and to fantasize about what God has gone to prepare. People say, "Well, you can't know anything about heaven and this, that, and the other." Well, you're just ignorant, that's all. That ain't what the Bible said. That Bible said, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him." Right? He said you couldn't know. It didn't say that. It said it didn't enter into your own eye or ear. It said, but the Spirit hath revealed them unto us. Yea, the deep things of God. See, you just quit reading one verse too soon. People read that first verse and say, see, you can't know. Hadn't entered into the ear of man or into his eye. That's right. You can't figure it out yourself. So the next verse said, God revealed it to you. Where did He reveal it to you? In this blessed old book. How do you know the streets are gold? You got it out of the Bible. How do you know the gates are pearl? You got it out of the Bible. How do you know there's a river of life there? You got it out of the Bible. How do you know there are cherubim and seraphim and angels all over glory? You got it out of the Bible. How do you know that they stand and cry, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, night and day? You got it out of the Bible. Everything you know about God, everything that's good and glorious, everything that gives hope and inspires the heart and motivates you toward tomorrow, you got out of this book. Every time I read, God so loved. Every time I read, I go to prepare a place. Every time I read, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Don't you want to hear God say that? I want to hear that more than anything in the world. After my race is run, my fight is over with. I've finished my course. To hear my Savior say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You didn't have the biggest church, and you weren't the best preacher. You wasn't the smartest guy on the block, but you stayed with it. You never quit. You stayed faithful. You hung in there year after year after year after year after year. Storefront buildings, little concrete block buildings, handful of people, just kept on and kept on. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Don't you want to hear that? You know what you got to do? You got to stay faithful. You got to keep on hanging in there. You got to keep on year after year. When you get mad at the preacher, you got to keep on going. When you get tired and weary, you got to keep on going. When the other Christians aggravate you and frustrate you and irritate you, you got to keep on going. When you've heard all my sermons 10 times, you got to keep on going. Last but not least, every time I read, come up hither. Now I'm listening for them words.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 4, and John said, and I was in spirit on the Lord's day. And I heard behind me a voice saying, come up hither. And a door was opened in heaven. And the next thing he sees is the Lord sitting on the throne. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day when Jesus Christ descends down through the universe and parks His feet on a cloud and has Gabriel blow that old horn. And Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior, says, come up hither. And all the dead in Christ hear that voice. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with Him in the clouds to be with the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. When He utters that cry, come up hither, I'm out of here. It's c'est la vie, bon voyage, hasta la vista, baby. How can you read Revelation 4 and know that those words, come up hither, mean the end of your trial and your tribulation and the beginning of all good things? And the next thing on God's calendar is the marriage supper of the Lamb. How can you read that and not get excited? You know what this is? This is my book. This is an old love letter written just for me. It tells me how much I'm loved, sweet. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank You now for Your goodness. We thank You that You gave us this Bible.